We don't have to put up with anxiety or fear. We can stand against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:10, God's purpose and grace has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We see here that Jesus' appearing, the appearing of our wonderful Savior, has abolished death, has done away with death, has abolished it. Now, if we're still having problems in those areas, we have to realize that we've got problem in an area that God has already given us the tools to deal with. Now, that's one of the first elements of faith that you have to grasp a hold of, is that you don't have to stay the same. You don't have to stay in the same position. If you're full of anxiety, you have to have faith that you don't have to stay that way, because you'll never get out of that. If you think, well, this is just my lot in life, I'm full of anxiety, I'm full of fear, and this is God's law, just the way I'm made up. No, God says, I want to speak life into that situation so anxiety has to flee. God has given us hope through the resurrection because he has abolished death. And the Greek word for abolish there means to render idle, render inactive or inoperable. And I like this, they have it in Strong's Concordance. They said, abolished here means that they are to be considered unemployed. And they're going around trying to get the EI somewhere. Death is unemployed. Jesus has abolished death. And you have to, when death comes into your life, if you've got something in your life that has the odor of death on it, you say, you got no job here. You're unemployed. You better go and look somewhere else. Because I'm in the life cycle, not in the death cycle. I live in the life cycle. The life cycle is what gives me breath. I enjoy the life cycle. Notice it said that Christ has abolished death, has rendered it idle. It has rendered it inactive, abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Brought life. That word life there is, in the Greek, it's zoe, and this is Strong's translation of that Greek word zoe. Very important to have an understanding of this, because it's not merely life as you and I know it. This is the theologian's translation of that word. It is life, absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. You could say it another way. It is life as God has it. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have zoe and have it to the full. You have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that you might have the fullness of life, the God kind of life, the life that God has. God's not sick. God's not poor. No. And he has that kind of life for you and I. It says that he has abolished death and brought zoe. Praise God forever. Death has been defeated, and Zoe is our lot today. Praise God forever. We could stop there and just start hollering, because life is ours. We don't have to fool around in that death cycle. You and I can realize that, no, this can be the worst day from the years past that you'd ever live. That from now on, you're walking into the life cycle of God. You intend to live your life as a child of the King. Live your life with breath from God flowing into you that will burn out every form of death that's walking around you, trying to get a hold of you. There's no aroma of death upon you. Remember the children of Israel, they went in, not the children of Israel, but the three Hebrew children who went into the fiery furnace. And they were in there, and the fire could not burn them up. And the Bible says that they came out of the furnace, and it says that even the smell of the smoke wasn't even on them. They were in the midst of the fire, and they didn't get burned up. They weren't tortured or hurt in any way, and they didn't even have the odor of smoke on them. Well, there's a lot of Christians walking around with the odor of death on them that they don't have to have on them either. There is a smell to death. I've smelled it. I know what it's like to smell that spirit of death. And when there's something around an individual that is in the death cycle, everything else has a flavor that is just not right. And sometimes it may not be that they're tormented really bad in that area, but even if there's a little bit, something is off. Something is off. You ever taste something that's off? Well, life can be that way. But God paid the price so that we might live in the life cycle, not the death cycle. I'll tell you one thing, being around God, there's no smell of death. There's no smell of that death cycle around Him. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, talking about Jesus, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release release those who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. You see, that's why Jesus came. Here was the devil. It says that he had the power over death. And all the people were held in bondage through fear of death. Now, it's interesting. I'm so glad that as born-again believers, we've been released from the fear of death, because what's the worst thing? I don't even like to use it that way. You know, when a person is sick, a born-again believer is sick, you can't really say the worst thing that could happen is that they die and go to heaven. That doesn't sound like a bad thing, is it? No, not at all. You see, when you take on that attitude, you remove the fear of death from the situation. And when you move the fear of death from any situation, you enter into freedom. You enter out of bondage into freedom. I'm telling you, when I got saved, when I was born again in 1980, suddenly when I realized that I was going to hell, I realized that according to the Word of God, the way I was living my life, I was on the road to hell. And I'm telling you, there was fear there. There was fear. And it was that God used that fear to bring me to a place to scare the hell right out of me, because I took a different direction. I just thought, I've got to find a way out of this. And thank God, as I kept reading, I found the way. And now I have no fear of death. No fear of death, praise the Lord. Because I know when I look forward to being over there. Now, I think life is good. I really do. I love life. I think life is great. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my kids. I love my church. I love the things that God is doing. I think it's good life. It really is. It really is. But I'm telling you, sometimes I thinking about the other side. I look over there and I'm thinking, that looks pretty good over there. That looks pretty good over there. Man, you can long to be over there. And when life gets really, really bad, when people's bodies break down and they're not functioning that well in this natural realm, then they start to look over to the other side. And they start to realize, my body is breaking down and it's not working that well. In fact, I think I'd work better over on the other side. I think if I got over there on the other side, I'd be more comfortable. And they start to drift off. And there's people who have come, sometimes the doctors came and say, well, they just drifted off. Really, they got over the major crisis and there was no real reason for them to die. But they just went. Well, I think what happens sometimes, we get looking over to the other side. If you're a born-again believer, you get looking over to the streets of glory, looking over to heaven and say, look, I want to go. I want to go. I lost any desire for this life any longer. You know, I believe there's built within each one of us a desire to fight for life, a desire to have life, a real desire to live. But after a while, when this whole thing begins to break down, that desire kind of leaves, and we want to then enter into the glorious place that God has for us. Now, as good and great as that is, I want us to start thinking, Lord, you told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here where I'm at. as it is in heaven. You told us to pray that kingdom, your kingdom would come to heaven where I'm at today. So Lord, what can I do? What can I say? What can I enter into to have that which is over there be brought to here so that I can enjoy that where I'm at on this earth today? Now, I know that that just sounds crazy in one sense from this kind of mental thinking, but you know what? I'm stretching my faith for that. I've decided that I'm going to stretch my faith for that, that I can see demonstrations of the kingdom of God here on earth in my life, in our church family, in what God is doing here on Prince Edward Island, a whole lot more than what we've seen yet. God wants to do much more. God desires for his kingdom to be manifested in a greater measure in your life. And I hope that that last song that we prayed, I'm still thirsty. I hope that's you today. I hope that's you. I hope you're thirsty for the things of God. I really do. You know, I remember years ago back in the Bebebe shite ke kesen de la barasondo. Sondo bebe sete kesen de la babasanda. Lite bere sete. Sundo bo asende kosondo la babasende kesinde. Bababasondo lo boroshite kesende. La mandasoto boroshite. For I have come, even this day, to refresh those who would say, I'm tired. I'm tired of living. I'm tired of this life. I have come to breathe new life into that one today. That one that would say, I just want to go home. Know this, says the Lord, that I'm with you where you're at. I've come and made my home with you, and I will lift you up and bring you to a place of victory where you're at now. For there will come a time and there will come a season when you will make a transition into the kingdom in its full measure. But the measure I have for you today, I want you to seek out and touch. I want you to receive. I want you to remain thirsty that I might pour out grace and mercy where you're at. For the Spirit of Jesus has come to meet you where you're at. The Spirit of Jesus has come to resurrect that which needs resurrection, erected in your life. So rejoice. Know that the presence of the Lord has come to lead you by the hand into his glory, so that glory will come where you stand. For it's been my desire to issue and usher glory in the earth. And as you walk in my glory, then my glory will be administered every place you touch your feet. Have confidence in this, that the glory of God will cover the earth, and it will cover the earth where you walk. You have that place in this life to administer that which I desire in your midst, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Se la baba su toko sende la mando sondo. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where I was going just before I got over there, now I remember back in the 80s. How many people remember books by Hal Lindsey, the great late Planet Earth? A whole bunch of people. I don't agree much with Hal Lindsey's been teaching for the last number of years, but I will say that God used him powerfully into bringing me to the Lord. And when I read that book, Late Great Planet Earth, I thought we were all going to heaven, 1988, I think it was. I did. A lot of people did. But I remember a brother-in-law of mine was talking to, and he said to me, you know, this life's not that bad. I don't mind living here. I don't mind, you know, staying around for a while. I look forward to staying around, seeing my kids or grandkids grow up. And at the time, in my naivety and not understanding, I thought, you know, that was a worldly statement to make. But really, God has given us a real desire to live out our lives here. God has put that within us. After all, he sent us here. He put us on the earth. He wants us to live our lives out. He does. He desires for us to walk in fullness of life while we live on the earth. He desires for you to walk in the fullness of life in your job, where you're working, in your home. He desires for you to experience that. God is a good God. He's for you, not against you. He wants you to have fullness of life here.